Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices, the law offices of Pretori Law in Tysons, Virginia. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Company's Brian Chandler, Pretori Law, Alan Roberts, Lips Roberts and Marquez, CPAs, Josh Levy, Brunch Digital, Jim Morgan, People Stretch, and Les Mullen. Vistage. Les, can you give us a rundown of who we have on the air today, please?
We have Russell Lacey, President, Electric Advisors, Mark Sutcher, Principal, Lyons & Sutcher. We have Joe Masteler, Partner, PB Mayers, and Michael Buckley, Director, MJW CPAs.
Let's get to our first guest, Russell Lacey, President of Electric Advisors. Russell, what is Electric Advisors? What are you guys doing?
Electric Advisors is an energy brokerage firm. We help commercial entities understand and benefit from shopping for their energy supply, electricity and natural gas, the Mid-Atlantic and other states as well.
And where are you from originally?
I was born in Washington, D.C. My parents moved out to the suburbs, Bethesda, Maryland, in the mid-50s.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm the seventh born of nine children.
You're the seventh of nine. And how did that affect you growing up, the seven of nine kids?
It was really interesting. It taught you to be aggressive, both for food on the table, because seconds were in short supply sometimes, and you had to speak loudly to be heard at the family meals.
Lester?
Yeah, what was Mom's role in all this?
So Mom was really the rock. She was, for the most of her life, a traditional stay-at-home mom. Later on, she ended up working as a realtor. But she made sure dinner was ready, kind of controlled chaos from the laundry that she did when we were younger and making sure.
And what
that
about Dad?
Dad wasn't as involved, particularly as the kids aged and the younger ones came about. He probably had a bit of a drinking problem. At 5 o'clock, he would disappear down to his basement and bourbon and waters and listen to big band music.
And what is it that you took away from his? You said he was self-employed and a little bit of a drinking problem. He was also a broker.
He was. He had a stockbroker. He had his own business through the 60s. There are pictures of all of us and the boys in the red jackets, that successful picture. And then his business went upside down. He did something he shouldn't have. Probably didn't have great representation. But anyway, he was convicted of a felony and ended up spending 3 months in jail.
And how did that affect you growing up?
Certainly the income left the family, and all of my siblings pitched in and worked. I was younger at the time, and led me to my first job. I was delivering eggs.
How old were you at that point?
I was probably eight or nine years old.
Josh?
So what did the delivering eggs and also your entire family having to pitch in, how has that impacted who you are in business today?
Certainly, you just got to get things done. There's no excuse. It just has to be done. The delivering the eggs, timeliness, carefulness. I was so afraid I'd break a dozen eggs. I'd have to buy them. I think it was making like $2 an hour at the time.
Then what was your next job?
My next job, I worked at Hot Chops as a busboy. Hot Chops was, I don't know what to compare it to now, but it was a diner, basically a fancy diner.
Mm-hmm. And then what was after that?
I worked at Herman's World of Sporting Goods. It was a sports store based out of New Jersey, mostly East Coast.
And what did you learn from that? I remember you saying something about you were managing all of the skiing aspects of it.
Certainly, I loved the overtime. I loved putting in the extra hours, time and a half. I thought it was such a big deal. But I was exposed to different things, inventory control, ordering.
Well, what's that have to do with who you are nowadays, the fact you love the overtime?
I'm not afraid of working. People sometimes complain they work too hard. You just get things done.
Jim?
So it sounds like you had a lot of responsibility. What did you do from a sports standpoint?
So in high school, I was kind of an awkward kid growing up. My mother wouldn't buy carpet till I went a year without spilling something for the kitchen. And finally, we accomplished that. And I grew into my body. I'm a big man. ninth grade, I started to stop, grow, and physically caught up with myself and started playing basketball and football at a higher level and really enjoyed football more so than basketball in high school.
You mentioned in football that you got an award. What was that?
So by the end of my senior year, I was given an all-met honor from one of the local newspapers.
Okay. You also mentioned a good sportsman award.
I always played sports. I was, again, I mentioned my awkwardness. I was given the good sportsmanship award, which was just for being the good kid on the team.
Didn't you mention, though, that you didn't have any problem knocking somebody down and picking them up? What was that all about?
Oh, playing football was fun. Again, you know, my father, old school, you don't show your anger, right? You keep it inside, but on the football field, you could let it loose.
Uh-huh. What does knocking somebody out and picking them up have to do with the business you're in nowadays?
It was kind of victorious, right? That was a battle on the line of scrimmage, and you won that battle. You knocked him, your opponent, out of the way and was able to get the running back, the quarterback, or disrupt whatever was going on.
So on one hand, you don't have any problem with competition. It's a team. It's all about a team.
The team. I love the competition.
I got you. Brian, what kind of questions you got there, Brian?
Yes, if we can go back a little bit to some of the jobs that you had when you were younger, delivering eggs, working in hot shops. And I think you talked about working in a sporting goods shop, too.
I did, correct.
Right. What of those jobs, which one did you think you learned the most from and why?
Probably Herman's World of Sports. I did that the longest. The harder you worked, the managers rewarded you. They let you have more responsibility. More responsibility earned greater pay, greater overtime.
And you talked a little bit earlier, I think, in the green room about how you became interested in like inventory management. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
It was really the opportunity to learn about how things were done in the store, how a store prepared, always thinking ahead. We're in the middle of Christmas sales, but they're booking merchandise for summer sales. So you have to keep your head focused on what's really important, given your position.
What's that have to do with your business? You're in the electric business. What's that planning ahead have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
Well, certainly when we sign a client in the energy business, there's a length to that contract. And if you're not prepared for the renewals, keeping the client aware of what's going on with regards to the seasonality and how that affects their contracts, your competition's going to beat you.
Alan?
Who was the most influential person in your life, Russell?
There are so many that are influential depending on what stage of life, but regarding my family, my brother John, who's next oldest than I, in high school, my first day of high school, we did not go to high school together. He graduated the year before I got there. A young woman came up to me, a cheerleader, a very attractive woman, in my naive 10th grade eyes. She turned to me and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "If you're anything like your brother, we're not going to get along." And actually, I wore that as kind of a badge of honor. I really enjoyed my brother John, maybe not as much as he enjoyed me at that age.
What did he teach you?
Boisterousness, the ability to withstand negativity, ask the question. The ramifications aren't that earth-shattering. Mm-hmm. Those are often.
How did you feel about that woman who walked up to you that first day in high school?
I didn't like her. It was an odd way to introduce oneself.
So you really have this deep sense of loyalty, don't you?
I do. My family was very important to me.
How's that affecting your business relationships?
You know, interestingly enough, my brother John is the one sibling I talk to on a daily basis, probably 3 to 5 days a week. We talk and we share good stories about his business and my business.
How about your business relationships? How that family loyalty, how's that affecting your business relationships?
The people who are my referral partners are really strong. I have some really deep relationships with individuals in the world that...
I bet there's a real deep give and take.
It is a real deep give and take.
Yeah, because your relationship with your
brothers.
They
trust me with their clients.
That's the point. Josh, correct. What are you thinking?
So what else did you learn from your first jobs?
Dutiful. You had to be on time. People were depending on you. People had to leave. If you were late, they couldn't leave to be home with their family, so you needed to be timely.
So you just mentioned that, and you mentioned having to be focused on the renewals. So is there a correlation there?
Certainly, if you're not timely with the renewals. Again, there's a lot of competition. Every business is competition, and we have people knocking on our clients' doors every day. And if we're not there before they are, if our client isn't aware that we're looking after them, we'll lose that renewal business. And our model is based on keeping our clients.
Mm-hmm. Jim, what are you thinking?
So you've mentioned trust and loyalty a couple times, or that thread's pulled through. So that impact, how does that impact your business?
The the vendors we deal with. We deal with, I think, 24 different energy suppliers, and we've actually stopped working with some who have gone around our backs. We don't need, though they might have better products or whatever, if we can't trust them with our clients, we're not going to trust them with our clients.
What an interesting point. You know, you have this loyalty thing going on, and it seems to me that, you know, you hear about blood and guts and people suing each other in business, but you're not that kind of way. You don't want problems in business. You want ongoing long-term relationships with your clients as well as your vendors, it sounds like.
Attorneys are great as friends. I just don't want to give them my money.
Oh, okay. Right. Lester, what are you thinking?
Go back to what happened with your dad. You're about 8-9 years old. How does your family adapt to that? I mean, you've got a large family. Dad goes away, whatever the circumstances might have been. But how does that affect the family, and how did it affect you personally?
In the end of my father's life, I was home more often than most, and I had to deal with those ramifications of his drinking and not being able to stop himself from getting into an automobile. But all of my family became probably more responsible than before they should have with regard to jobs. And as a credit to my parents, out of the 9 children, 7 graduated college, more went on for masters.
Mm-hmm. How's that affecting you nowadays?
You know, it's funny. One of my siblings, who also works with me in the business as an advisor, a counselor, mm-hmm. Who got me into the business, mm-hmm. actually, is one of the ones with a master's from Carnegie Mellon. Mm-hmm. I used to say he was smarter than mm-hmm. me, but he's not. He's just better studied.
And Russell, what's the website address of Electric Advisors?
Electricadvisors.com.
We've been speaking with Russell Lacey, president of Electric Advisors, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Whoa, we just did that.
And your name and organization is?
Ray Vasquez, Vertex 11.
And Ray, where are your parents from originally?
They're from Miami and Puerto Rico.
Miami and Puerto Rico. And where did you guys, where were you raised?
I was raised in Miami.
Uh-huh. And tell me, what was going on if your parents were from Puerto Rico and from Cuba? Am I correct?
That's correct.
How did that affect you in your childhood?
It meant I had to figure things out for my own.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
It meant figuring out school. Figuring out how I was going to get to school.
You had to figure out school, and they didn't tell you what to do and how to do it?
They didn't know the system. This was a completely different foreign country for them.
So you had to figure out the system.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you a question. You having to figure out that system as a kid, how's that affecting what you do for a living nowadays?
Well, what it does is it helps me quickly understand what a company does, where their issues are, and how I can solve their issues quickly.
So what do you do for your business career? What kind of stuff do you do?
I help organizations fix their security issues so hackers don't steal their data, as well as make their business processes more effective so they can make more profit.
So your ability to figure stuff out, your obsession with having to figure stuff out as a kid, sort of is what you're doing in your business career. Am I mistaken about that?
No, that's correct.
Uh-huh. So what was it about your childhood that you enjoyed the most? What was it about your childhood that you enjoyed the most?
I would say that being able to work, getting out of the house, meeting people.
Sounds to me like you really enjoy your business career, don't you?
I do.
You enjoy meeting with clients and figuring stuff out.
I like hard problems, especially ones others can't solve.
Ah, there we go. What's the website address for your organization?
It's vertex11.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Vertex11.com.
And your name again is?
Ray Vasquez.
And you're the president of Vertex 11. This has been your Business Spotlight. We'll be back in a minute right after this break.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least 2 federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least 2 federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Mark Sutcher, who's a principal at Lyons & Sutcher. Mark, what is Lyons & Sutcher? What are you guys doing?
We're a marketing firm that represents builders and developers from Baltimore down to Richmond.
Uh-huh. How large or how small is the firm?
We're 15 souls.
Uh-huh. And where are you from originally?
Detroit.
And how many brothers and sisters?
Two older sisters.
Okay. Jim, your turn. What do you want to know?
So, Mark, what were you active with as a youth?
God, I spent most of my time on my own. I mean, there were sports, but I was always last picked, whether it was the 22-on-a-side football or softball. But I ended up spending an awful lot of time on my own building things.
So what did you do in that? You say building things. What did you do in that alone time? What were you building?
I was building models, and growing up in Detroit, you had two major model companies. One was Johann, the other was AMT. And the hobby shops would have the local kids build the model kits for them and use them as displays, and I spent an awful lot of time building cars.
And why were you gravitated towards that?
My father's and his father's business was the oil business in Detroit in the 1960s.
Yeah, but there's something else going on here. And Josh, why don't you take it?
You mentioned earlier about your dad and lad time, which you had, which separate from being alone at times. What did that teach you?
Well, my father would always take me to his business, which was across the street from the refinery, and he was in charge of marketing for this oil company. And I ended up spending an awful lot of time taking the promotional items and using them to create my own world and sort of play marketing games with them, sort of what would be these things used for and how could I get people in the gas stations.
So you started marketing on your own at a young age?
Yes. They were my toys.
You were trying to figure out how to get people into the gas stations at how old?
I was 6, 7, 8.
You got marketing in your blood. Uh-huh. Okay. Alan, what do you got?
Who was the most influential person in your life?
Well, I had two grandfathers who were legends and was real in my life, and then there's my middle sister who was an ongoing influence in my life.
And you said one grandfather had a failed business and the other one started the oil business. That was pretty much a study in contrast. How did that affect what you're doing today?
Well, let me clarify that. My grandfather had a failure, picked himself up, and ended up creating his mm-hmm. company. His
yep.
His hardware store failed, but then he went to mortuary sciences school at Wayne State and turned it into the largest Jewish funeral home in the state of Michigan, and he became quite a success. Mm-hmm. And the other grandfather picked himself up from absolutely nothing and turned himself into the largest integrated oil company in Michigan. Mm-hmm.
Jim?
So you talked about building the models. How old were you when you started kind of figuring out how things work?
I can't remember when I didn't do that. It was something I've always done.
So how do you bring that to your work every day?
Well, part of our marketing relies on how people structure their businesses and what their business goals are. We can't make promises that these businesses don't keep. And so I have to figure out what their business models are in addition to figuring out how their buyers and...
Wait, hold on for a second. Stop. You just said, now you're in the marketing business.
Yeah.
And we realized you were marketing stuff at the age of six or something when you were going to work with your dad. Yet on the other hand, Jim just helped you. Jim just pointed out the fact that you like figuring things out. And your comment was, you can't sell something that they can't deliver or something like that. What was that line you just used?
It's really simple. We make promises our clients want to keep.
Wait. But that's not what I typically hear in business. I read the newspapers. I think marketing was a bunch of lies.
No, the internet has changed that. People have the expectation that WYSIWYG has become everybody's standard for performance at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Just inflated,
so what you see is what you get.
Promises don't work.
Gotcha. I just wanted to make sure I understood that. Brian, what are you thinking?
You talked about your grandparents and some of their accomplishments, your grandfathers.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you model yourself after them? Because they are your significant role models.
They are. And they've given me both the willingness to be resilient in the face of challenges and pick myself up if we fail or get a lot of no's. At the same time, they also give me the ability to say this can be done, and so it's never a question of accomplishing things, it's just a question of getting out there and doing it.
Would you say you're trying to be like them?
Only within the time period I live in. I mean, I can't replicate their successes, but I can be successful.
But they give you an internal motivation. You think about them while you're trying to build your enterprise.
I have a portrait of my father's father, and sometimes I talk to him and say, well, how am I doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, why do you do that?
Because he passed away when I was six, and so I have to sort of, in my own head, have a dialogue with the legend versus my reality.
You think he'd be proud of what you've done?
I'm sure he'd be proud of what I did.
Why?
Because I have taken a field and grabbed it and run with it. We have a great reputation that we've earned through a lot of hard work and
Wait a second. I just asked you, do you think your grandfather, who was really successful, would be proud of you? And I thought you were going to tell me, yeah, it's because I've made a lot of money. You went ahead and told me because of your reputation? What are you talking about?
Well, growing up in Detroit, reputation was king. And if you didn't have a good reputation, if your handshake wasn't worth, you know, the time you spent shaking someone's hand, you weren't going to get very far in business.
Wow, that goes back to what you were telling me earlier, which is you really want to help your clients figure out what makes them special so that that's what you're promoting, not the wrong kinds of stuff. Les?
Yeah, actually, I heard promises made, promises kept. But you've been surrounded by a whole lot of people who, through grit and resilience, have kind of stepped up and made their mark. Your sister, Sandra, in particular, as well as your grandparents. What did you learn from Sandra in particular about yourself that you use today?
Sandra has always been the smart one in the family. She's accomplished great, great, great things. But she also taught me that wisdom has a place in a family and humor. That way it lubricates the relationships and also makes it possible to really come out and be yourself.
And how does that show up for you today?
Well, Sandra and I talk pretty much every weekend, to be sure, and compare business notes.
How about the wisdom and the humor? How's that showing up in business?
Well, when you get the challenges, you know, your job is to straighten things out. We just had a whole issue
with
clients.
I thought you were in the marketing business, which is promoting. You're talking about the challenges of running a business, I guess. I guess a marketing firm is a business, right?
Every day.
Uh-huh. Who's got the next question here?
How would you describe the culture of your company?
The culture is always recognizing that 95% of our assets walk out the door at the end of the day and treating people with respect and kindness.
Mm.
So you've kind of gone from that kind of being on your own, spending a lot of time alone, to kind of building a group and building that company culture.
Yeah, we have a very strong culture where we have alumni, and we've in fact just hired back somebody who left a firm, and she said, I really miss working with you guys, and she's one of the brightest people I've ever known, and she said, I want to come back. So we did.
Why did she want to come back?
She missed the camaraderie. She missed the challenges. She missed the encouragement and the growth that we offered her, the opportunity to really explore her own desires and goals.
Wow. Wow, that's really special. Now, I'm really happy, glad Jim asked that question. What's the website address of your organization?
It's lyonsandsucher.com.
How do you spell that?
lyonsandsucher.com.
We've been speaking with Mark Sucher, who's principal of Lyons and Sucher here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leader. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Yeah,
we did it.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
Allergy sufferers, my name's Nigel. As a wise and educated owl, I know the difference between what's wise and unwise. Suffering needlessly with allergy symptoms, unwise. Getting a free 10-day sample of Zizol, quite wise. Zizol is the allergy medicine that's just as effective at hour 24 as at hour 1, which makes getting a free 10-day sample one of the wisest things you can do. So don't be unwise. Be wise all and visit Zizol.com for your free sample today. Use as directed.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, No annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Joe Masteller, who is a partner at the firm PB Mayers. Joe, what is PB Mayers? What kind of stuff are you guys doing?
PB Mayers is a firm of CPAs and consultants.
How large or how small is the business?
We have 10 offices, 2 in Maryland, 8 in Virginia. We have roughly 300 people and 45 partners.
And what's your role in the business?
I co-lead the tax service line within the firm.
The tax side, okay. And what kind of sports did you play as a kid?
I played football, baseball, and basketball throughout high school.
And tell me, what was your role on the basketball team?
I was usually the point guard.
What was the personality trait of the point guard when you played point guard?
Be able to see the field and get the ball to the person who could score the easiest.
What does that have to do with your role at this organization called PB Mayers?
It applies the same way, is see the opportunities, find the right people to solve the opportunities, and make sure the client is happy.
Mm-hmm. Josh?
So tell me a little bit about your family and where you fall in the pecking order and your parents.
I'm the second of 5 boys. My parents, my father was a U.S. Army serviceman, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom until my youngest brother got into elementary school, and then she went to work.
So your father was in the military, and you moved around quite a bit. What did that teach you, and how have you communicated that into your business today?
We moved around about every 3 years, so you had to get to meet new classmates. You had to learn how to play within their scope of how they did things, and we also learned through sports that there was a lot of commonality that you could create early in a relationship.
You mentioned a certain way that you were able to make new friends at these new schools. What was that again?
It was generally either through participating in school activities or through sports.
Earlier you talked about the cliques and trying to focus on that. Tell me a little bit more about that, please.
Well, you'd want to figure out who were the popular people and who you wanted to hang out with, and what did you have in common, or what could you get in common with them in order to join that clique.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next one? Alan, you want to get up?
That must have been pretty challenging, moving every 3 years, having to make these new friends, and so you know, to permeate those cliques that you ran into. That how did you figure that out?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that growing up in the military, everybody moved around every 3 years, and so we thought, as a whole, everybody moved around every 3 years, and it just became natural of what to do, how to meet people, how to join.
Mm-hmm. And that was normal. So how do you bring that skill to what you're doing today?
Well, it's really through client development in a lot of ways, is that you're going to meet new people every day, and how do you interact with them? How do you find out if they have needs? How can you help solve them? How do you become their advisor?
Mm-hmm. Jim?
Joe, would you consider yourself to have been a leader during the on the sports teams that you were on?
Usually I was. I was either a team captain or one of the better players on the teams as I grew up.
And you talked about bringing leadership into your business. How do you prepare for the next generation within your business?
Well, just like with any sports team, is you got to learn how to use the strengths of the people. And based on the strengths of the people is how do you generate the next succession in our business. And that's what we're doing now.
So it has a lot to do with your succession management as well.
Correct. It does.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the dad had some words about leadership. What was that all about?
Well, you know, my father taught us in a lot of ways that you had to assume the responsibilities of what you're doing, whether you're a team captain or whether you co-led a tax department. There's responsibilities, and you had to take the good with the bad.
How'd your father communicate that to you? Did he show you? Did he tell you? What was that all about?
More by example, what he did.
What do you mean?
Well, he would be in charge of some department within what he did in the Army, and with that he assumed some responsibilities as to making sure the department performed to what the expectations were.
That was really responsible.
Yes.
You have a lot of respect for your dad, don't you?
I do.
Uh-huh. Brian?
Yes. How old were you when you started making money in a job?
I was probably 11 years old with a paper route.
Okay, and what other jobs did you have at the time?
I did paper routes almost through high school. I also worked at department stores. I cut grass. I worked at a resort cutting grass.
What was your preferable job? What was your favorite job?
I enjoyed most everything that was outdoors, and whether it was mowing grass or whether it was trimming trees, but I enjoy the outdoors.
But you said something earlier about in the green room about how you liked to put things in order or have clean lines. Lines, something along those lines.
There's nothing better than seeing a lawn that has nice straight lines in it.
What's that have to do with being an accountant?
You wonder, huh? How we get things in order.
Uh-huh. So how did you know when you were at this age that you would be interested in accounting?
Not at all. I didn't even know that accounting existed.
What were your interests academically at that time?
It was more in the sports area.
Okay, but academics in school, other than sports, what were your subjects in school that you gravitated?
Once I entered my sophomore year, I knew that I did not want to do physical education as a profession, and so I thought because I was good in math, I would try accounting.
So you enjoyed math as well?
I did.
Does that help drive you in that direction, do you think?
It certainly did.
And Joe, are you more like your mom or dad?
Probably more like my mother.
What do you mean?
Well, my mother was a hard worker, but she also looked to get the best out of the people and identify what was best within people. And I think that's what I got from her.
So it's interesting. Even though you happen to have a CPA after your name, you're really a people kind of guy, aren't you?
Our business is a people business.
What do you? I thought your business. You're an accountant, so make sure that the lawns are cut correctly, that the numbers line up. No, am I wrong?
Yeah, but you have to develop the relationships, and our biggest asset is our people.
Huh. I learn something new every day, Lester.
Yeah, you had mentioned that you played sports, basketball, baseball, football, but baseball in particular through college. Why was that important?
To me, it proved that you can be an athlete as well as a student at the same time.
What do you mean?
Well, you could enjoy the things that you like to enjoy, like play sports, like especially baseball, but you can also get a degree. And that was the biggest accomplishment I had at that point in time.
So you learned you could enjoy yourself and work at the same time.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
I enjoy my work, and I enjoy getting out on the golf course or mowing our lawn.
Uh-huh. Did someone tell you you had to choose between the two?
No. You got to figure out how to make it work for yourself.
Uh-huh. How to get them both. Jim, you got something there?
So... you mentioned that you were one of five brothers. So what was your role amongst the brothers?
I was probably a little bit more of the independent brother of any of them because I like to do things. I like to have things, and I would go out and make sure it happened.
Okay. And how does that impact work today?
Well, it helps me look at issues, client issues, and as well as firm issues, not normally. Outside the lines, so we can really think about, are there other ways of doing these things?
Mm-hmm. Alan, what else are you thinking? I've got something occurred earlier when Joe told us he's been with the same company for 40 years the whole time. And Alan is the one who pointed out that all that moving around might have had you looking for stability. And do you think the moving around every 3 years had anything to do with your being at the same company for 40 years?
You know, I never thought that, but it does make sense. We've had different names, but I've been with the same company for the 40 years I've been in business.
When you say the same company, it's the same core team of people, you mean?
It is.
So you got comfortable as opposed to moving around all the time. You really looked for the stability of having the same kinds of quality people around you. It's not just people. It's the right kind of people.
Right? Well, and in the same team.
What do you mean?
Well, I think that the type of people I work with are similar to what you do in sports, and you get comfortable with your teammates, and they're good. You're able to rely on them and know their strengths and know their weaknesses and help progress the firm in the direction that we all agreed to go to.
Wow, you've got point guard written all over you. I mean, you know, it's fascinating to me that, you know, you really understand the building of a team and the succession of a team, and also look for the stability because of all that moving you had. I think that's what else? What, are you married or single?
I'm married, and I have two children.
How old are the kids?
22 and 20.
What's the similarity between being involved with the co-tax department at PB Mayors and being a dad? Similarity.
Wow. I think what's helped me the most is understanding our younger staff through my children.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know, the generations and the difference, the generations, how they perform, what's important to them, how they're able to use technology, I think has been very helpful having my children to understand.
That's fascinating. There it is again, understanding the different types of people and how do you work with them. It's a constant thread with you.
It's going back to how he had to always work with the various cliques.
It's exactly what I was picking up. What's the website address of this organization, PB Mayors?
PBMayors.com.
How do you spell that?
PBMayres.com.
We've been speaking with Joe Masteller, who is a partner at PB Mayors here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break. Yeah. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now, with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Americans are going crazy for a new Italian diet pill that burns three times more fat than dieting alone. And the next 100 callers get three bottles for free. Sold under the brand name Invigorate 3X, this powerful pill triggers metabolic acceleration, a process that's deficient in most Americans, making weight loss a hassle. But a new study shows 30 pounds gone in 90 days with just two capsules a day. Julie B. of Nashville says, "I was skeptical, but when I saw a famous doctor made it, I decided to try it. I was shocked. I lost 16 pounds in 6 weeks. For a limited time, our listeners get three free bottles with a qualifying order.
Call 1-800-932-1789 now to get started.
Call in the next 10 minutes and also get a free bottle of the doctor's Ultra Detox. And don't forget your free 14-day diet fix. No obligation and 100% free when you call right now. 800-932-1789. 800-932-1789.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce David Stolman, CEO of Exec Vision. David, what is Exec Vision? What are you guys doing?
Exec Vision is a call coaching software platform that drives human behavior change and empowers employees to get better.
Wow. How large or how small is this company?
About 50 employees.
And where are you from originally?
Grew up in New York and then moved to Colorado during my teenage years.
What kind of sports did you play?
All of them. Basketball, baseball, soccer, tennis, skiing.
What was your role in the basketball team?
I was a point guard.
So what's the personality trait of a point guard?
Aggressive, leader. Wants to take control, wants the ball in their hands so that they can make the decisions.
Well, what's that have to do with your being a point guard, with your being the CEO of Exec Vision?
Yeah, I think the characteristics are the same. At the end of the day, the accountability of a CEO, of the business, starts and ends with the CEO. It's you succeed or you fail with the decisions that you make. Now, the team behind it is the reason you succeed or fail, but you have to be the one that's guiding the ship.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you were involved with skiing. Why'd you like skiing?
Risk, danger, okay. Being able to push your limits and boundaries. There is, you can pretty much be as daring and as scary at any moment as you want, depending upon where you're skiing.
So when's the first time you bit off more than you could chew?
Honestly, probably before I could even remember. I've been skiing since I'm three, which seems sort of impossible now. But I have an older brother. I'm the youngest of two, but my older brother is a bit of a daredevil and not sure that he cares about his own safety or the safety of others around him at times. So I skied with him. And because he was 5 years older, we went to places where a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old probably shouldn't be skiing.
Mm-hmm. So how do you balance that love kind of or seeking out of risk and the idea you can probably save any situation? How do you balance that with being a CEO of a growing company and having to employ 50 people and keep them employed?
I think it's about being prepared. You have to know your boundaries and still be able to push them. You know, I'm a sales guy, so you think about quotas and you think about goals, and those are different things that people don't realize. So it's the same thing with anything that you're trying to do is where am I currently and how far can I go and what do I need to do to get there? So again, I think when you're skiing, you want to push the envelope, but you only want to do it in a stepwise fashion to ensure that you don't kill yourself.
Shirley?
What did your mom do for a living?
My mom was a stay-at-home mom.
And how about your father?
My dad's an entrepreneur. He's an architect and has always started his own businesses doing things related to design around architecture, but mm-hmm. again, always trying to find sort of the right path to build a business.
Mm-hmm. What would you say you bring to work from each of them?
Oh, my mom, tiger mom, but a perfectionist as well. The expectation was you are perfect. So if you got a 97, what happened to the final 3 points? Why didn't you get 100? Not congratulations, you were number one in your class. And at the time, it's kind of annoying and terrible, but in hindsight, it sort of drills into you what good really looks like and how your expectations of yourself should be higher than where you at.
And what'd you get from dad?
Sales, entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's always selling. He could sell anything to anyone at any time.
You mentioned when you were a kid that you were working in a restaurant, you were washing dishes and then bussing tables. What did you do different than the other kids that washed dishes and bus tables?
Yeah, again, a lot of it wasn't that young kids were doing it. I did it because I wanted to get ahead. I wanted to be a waiter. But you have the only way to get a waiter job is you need waiting experience, mm-hmm. which seems kind of silly. Mm-hmm. But the only way to get waiting experience is work your way up.
Mm-hmm.
So that job starts at a dishwasher. Mm-hmm. And you have to take your dishwashing job, even though it's the bottom rung of the ladder, as if it was the restaurant general manager. And it's coming to work every day, regardless of what the job is, with professionalism to do the job better than anyone else that's doing that job.
So you're the CEO of a 50-person company, but you don't think anybody owes you anything. You worked hard from the ground up as a busboy, and you did it with pride, didn't you, in order to become a waiter. It's like you believe in working hard each step of the way. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, and we run our business the same way. It's a meritocracy. So if you've been with us for 2 months or 2 years, when the next job comes open, it's anyone's able to apply, and anyone that is qualified and demonstrates why they should be doing that next position, we'll get the job.
Wait a minute. Isn't that what your whole business is about, is creating a meritocracy? Isn't that what the benefit of your software is you really can find out who's great at doing what, and therefore they deserve the opportunity?
Absolutely.
So you really believe in merit.
I do. At the end of the day, you put in what you get out, and that's the way it should be. People shouldn't get ahead just because they were there first.
All right, and you're walking the walk and talking the talk. So I got it. I got it loud and clear. You know, you're the one who worked hard as a busboy. Brian, what are you thinking?
David, are you a team player?
I am now. I wasn't when I was younger because it was about me and it was about getting ahead and it was about sales. And those skills don't necessarily translate to being a CEO or a business leader. So I'm a late bloomer in that too. And I've had to learn from a lot of failures about expectations and setting that your expectations of yourself on other people. And now it's less about my expectations on them, and it's understanding what their expectations of themselves are and how to help them accomplish what they need to. So it's happened over a long period.
Yeah, you're working at earning the role of CEO. It sounds to me like you're being critical of yourself. You know, what should I be doing better in order to continue to earn my role as CEO? Brian, what else are you thinking?
How do you mold potential? What are those nuggets? What do they look like?
It's a great question. I think it starts with who you hire first. So we hire for cultural fit, we hire for attitude, we hire for hard work, passion, and dedication. We don't hire for have you done this role before. And I think if you start with the right mold of the right person, and you're always trying to hire people that theoretically could take your job, and then it's spending a lot of time with them one-on-one every week to understand what are their objectives, what are their goals, how are they driving themselves to getting there, mm-hmm. and helping them work through those challenges.
What's the website address for Exec Vision?
execvision.io.
Let me have that one more time.
Exec Vision, execvision.io.
Excellent. We've been speaking with David Stillman, CEO of Exec Vision, here on Executive Leaders Radio. John, can you give us a rundown on who else we've had the opportunity of speaking with?
Our first guest today was Chris Marquez, CEO of National Capital Contracting. Our second guest was Alan Roberts, managing partner of Lipst, Roberts, and Marquez. Our third guest was Yuman Sang, CEO and founder of Churn Zero. And we just talked to David Stillman, CEO of Exec Vision.
I would like to thank my co-hosts, including Shirley Mowry, Hertzbach, Brian Jefferson, Cressa, and John Shuhart, Graybeard Coaching, for giving me hand structure in the questions. Hope you're providing a listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye. We nailed that. That was a great show.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.